Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome back to another edition of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I hope your weekend is going well. I hope the rest of it goes even better. I want to welcome you back to a new episode today. We're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about love for the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about love in three different dimensions. And the first dimension that we're going to talk about today is called horizontal. So it's love horizontal. Now, right away, if you're like me, you get a mental image. And that's not what we're going to talk about in this one. You're going to have to wait till next week. That one is going to be different. Some of you are probably going to think that I have gotten soft, or that I've become weird, or that this podcast is obscure or way esoteric. That's possible. But if you can follow what I'm saying, you are going to come away with this with a new dimension of understanding, and I believe a deeper, wider consciousness, higher consciousness. And I think that's going to have a profound effect on your life. And that's my hope and prayer. And so with that, we're just going to begin. And it always boggles my mind how every single person on this planet knows something about love. We've either been in love, we have maybe instead of being in love, we are seeking love, wanting to be in love with another person. You could be a child and experience the love of your parents or grandparents or somebody else or a friend. There isn't anybody on the world that doesn't know something about love. That doesn't mean everybody has the same experience of love. Of course not. But we all know something about it. And yet, there's a large percentage of people on this earth that claim to know nothing at all about God. They are certain God cannot exist, and yet something like love can exist. And I'm wondering if this is because religion has actually obscured God. It's created a shape of God that's very fixed and formulaic. It did so by insisting that people theologize about God. You have to have the perfect theology, right? Or otherwise we're going to argue words about it. They're going to create dogmatics and be very fixed. We're going to create a particular understanding of God, a particular expression. And we are going to rule out all expressions of God that are not particular, right? These are all our formulations, human formulations. These are religious rhetoric. It's tribal language. It creates a very fixed wallpaper, two-dimensional idea of God. And I think that's the God that people don't believe. And they can believe in something like love, even as a hard scientist or an empiricist or what they call a rational person or a thinking person or whatever it is. They have this experience and they can believe in it. But then God is a hard thing to believe in. And that always just boggles my mind, because from my perspective, I've adopted what the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, that God is love. You know, so what if God isn't this character that our pastors and churches and synagogues and places have been giving us all these years? What if God is actually slightly other than that? What does it actually mean that God is love? You see, Love starts really early with us, right? In the days of attachment, right? Attachment and need are where love starts. That's kind of love in its larval stage. And I know that might seem like the opposite of what we've learned, but that's where it starts. I mean, maternal love is our very first taste of God, where familiarity with mom and satisfaction from mom as a very young newborn. Those two things, familiarity and satisfaction, join to our attachment and need. And they enable us to imprint upon another. And this can happen through adoption. This can happen in other ways. But it's most common with the mother and the child, the mother nursing the child. Now, it might just seem like a beastly, animalistic, instinctual need for food. But that's where it starts. That's where love begins. You see, we learn where satisfaction comes from, don't we? And the lowest form of love is always horizontal. It's the love that's between us. But that doesn't mean that we can diminish horizontal love. It's also not something that we graduate from on our way to becoming spiritual. I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, we got horizontal love and we call that, you know, eros or, you know, friendship. But then there's agape love. That's vertical love. And that's God's love. And that's a higher, completely, totally different kind of love. Now, I'm not going to say that. I'm not even going to go there. Okay. It is true that the lowest form of love is horizontal, but it is not in any way ever to be graduated away from. In fact, horizontal love, the love we have between each other, is actually the evidence that anything spiritual is going on within us. And so if we have horizontal love, love for a pet, a friend, a family member, then that horizontal love exists because we are first of all spiritual, right? We don't graduate out of horizontal love into spiritual love called agape love. No. Horizontal love is there because we're first spiritual. Otherwise, without the soul, the spirit, love cannot exist at all. We wouldn't even be kind to each other. There'd be nothing to know about love. So whether we're loving our pets or we're loving our kids, which is easy to do, we may just have friends that we deeply love, family members that we love, we may love our spouses. No matter what that is between people and sometimes objects, I mean, some people say they love their bikes, they love their house, they love their swimming pool, they love their vacation, right? Now, a lot of times religion comes in and says, oh, that's bad. You can't love a thing. You can only love God. And I'm going to challenge that because I think that confuses the understanding of what love is. It makes love more like an emotion and not what it is, which is a dynamic flow. So whether we're loving our pets, kids, family, friends, spouses, or whatever, we all know that we're tapping into like the greatest and the most powerful force that's in the universe. And apart from which, we would struggle to find any meaning in life at all. I mean, think about those moments when you feel unloved, when you feel like there's no one around you that loves you. That is where you have a sense of no meaning. Love has everything to do with how we appraise our lives. Someone says, how's your life going? If you say it's great, it's because there is love within it that you can attach yourself to. If you can't find love, your well-being is in the crapper. You can't, nothing else works without it. It's behind everything. It's the energy. It's the force that's behind all things. I think that's what they're getting at when they say God is love. See, love is behind everything, and that makes our lives a love story. Our lives are a script that God is writing into the part. And this experience is not something that we have to wait until one day when we die, if we were good and if we, you know, put our radio preset to Caleb, or if we put a chrome fish on the back of our car, then maybe we get to go and experience this deep love. No, 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 no. Your life is love. Your life is a love story. And maybe it's tragic. Maybe it's awesome. I don't know. You see, all the problems that we have in the world are reduced or amplified by love. Love can diminish a pain, and love can grow a problem. You see, love is this dynamic force, and we have to be good stewards of it. We have to understand that it is the power for life. It's the power behind all life. If you love something bad, that bad thing tends to grow. You can create a monster out of your kids, or a spouse, or a friendship, or a boss, by loving the wrong thing in them, can't we? You can also love something into a total transformation, so that it's reshaped into something far better than it could ever be without it. That's the power of love. You know, this is going to shock some of you, but love is the impetus for everything we have ever done. It is the motivation behind everything. If you reduce it, all things come down to love. And every bad thing that we have ever done was not because we lacked love. It was because we loved immaturely. Think about that. It's not that you lack love and therefore you are become a bad, evil person doing wicked things, if that's you at all. No, 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 no. We do bad things because we are loving in an immature way. We haven't grown our love. We haven't recognized its power. Love is not empirically measurable. This is amazing to me. We all know love exists. Every song on the radio talks about it, right? And science wants to tell us that, you know, it's neurotransmitters or brain chemistry. But I think the fact that love cannot be measured is one of the greatest proofs of God. And nobody questions the love's existence. Yet so many empiricists question God's existence. Isn't that interesting? Neither one of them is based in empirical reality. They're both non-physical realities. I mean, yeah, we can have neurotransmitters that are brain chemicals that make us have that love feeling or attachment or, you know, those nice warm feelings. But those are byproducts of love. They're not the antecedents to love. They are not love in and of themselves. And so we can't make our brains into our consciousness. You see, most songs are about love. Movies portray love. Poetry, art, the stories around us all reflect love. They're all talking about it within this human dynamic, this amazing experience that we all go through at some level. The pain that it hurts us, the loss, the suffering. The depth, that's where depth comes from. It's love. The nature of love is indescribable. And all of these mediums like songs and movies and poetry, they're trying with the best that they can to use words to get at what love is. And they always fall short of capturing the ultimate experience. Oh, they come close. A great love song or a great well-written poetry gets at it. But those words are not it itself. They're the pointers to that thing which is behind the thing. Right? Are you starting to make this correlation that God is love? The world agrees that love is the non-physical reality, which is beyond us and within us. And it's between us. Love is behind all things, through all things, and in all things. Now, the path to possess love is not to embrace some system or a strategy. It's not to get a self-help book. It's not to find a guru to say, this is how you get love. As soon as you enter a formula with certain steps or rules, you're missing it. Because, you see, love is not a cognitive endeavor. Oh, yeah, you can make pros and cons about your relationship, but that's not love. We have to fall into love. If we don't fall into this experience, and fall just means you have to let go. You can't craft it. You can't plan it. You have to simply let the consequences be as they are and just enter. Just enter. And that's how we experience it. If we try and control it with some kind of cognitive rule or system or a strategy, then we're going to miss it. You see, we must let go and find ourselves within its current, its path, its flow. This experience is like nothing else, and it comes to us by giving it away. And since love has no boundary, we can always go deeper into it. But this strangely takes two willing participants. It exists between us and within us. Love is experienced in countless ways, each unique to each person. And all horizontal love is entirely spiritual, but we call it natural because it's so common among us. The day we stop going deeper with each other is the day we move away from our spirituality, and consequently, we move away from our love story. You see, love beckons us to mine it, to dig it out, to find it. And sorrow in life is the skimming over the depths of love, which is our life. And depression is not recognizing our true name, which is love. We name ourselves something other than love, and the result is depression, self-hatred, negativity. You see, horizontal love cannot be avoided. It exists within each of us, and yet some of us will try and resist it. In fact, we all resist it at some point. Since love is non-physical, I mean spiritual in nature, we can only fall as far in love as the level of our spiritual maturity. And we all get stuck at the point of unbelief. I mean, we can't love others beyond our soul's capacity to receive love. And this is an indicator about what the nature of love is really about. And we're going to get to that in our third installment on love. This is an indication of love's dynamism, of its flow, right? We can't love someone else beyond our soul's capacity to receive love. So if you want a better marriage, stop defending yourself and start falling. Stop crafting a strategy or an argument or defense and just start giving love away. And as you do, your capacity for love will grow just like it will for me. But if we hoard it and hold on to it, it will die of cynicism within us. It does every time. If you're feeling cynical about your relationship, your love is not flowing. It's stagnant. Get it moving and things will change. This is because love, by any expression, is the incarnation of God. And I know we always think about the incarnation of God as, you know, Jesus coming to earth as a man. But you and I need to have a wider perspective and begin to see incarnation as the love that's between all of us. It is our immediate point of contact with the transcendent, to which most of us are oblivious. And God is not the object that we love. God is the experience, not the feeling of love. He's the experience, he, she, that we have through the objects, people, places, things. Idolatry is not the love of the object, the purple place or the thing, other than God. Idolatry is missing this distinction by separating God from all that exists. You see, when we separate God out, we lose some aspect of what the incarnation and what love really is. And that separation causes us to create an idolatry in something else. So if we want the wellspring of life called love, we must go beyond horizontal love and begin to experience vertical love. And that is what we're going to focus on next week. Now, if you think I'm going to switch from human love to the love of God, and when I talk about vertical love, then you are mistaken. You see, human love is the love of God. Human love is the love of God. We cannot go deeper with each other without going vertical. And we cannot go deeper with God without going horizontal. The word must become flesh, and it does so via love. So the horizontal and the vertical are not separate paths to separate kinds of love, as we have often been told. Nope, they are the same path and the same experience of love, but in two dimensions. And this is our clue as to why and how God is love. I hope you'll come back for next week's episode. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.